Welcome back to the Sought After Educator podcast. Before we jump into today's episode, I have an announcement to make. The Sought After Educator Accelerator is closing enrollment on February 1st. So if you know that you're meant to have a brand that positions you as the go-to educator in your space, content that actually sells your education, and a backend that supports real momentum instead of feeling tangled and duct taped together, this is the window. This is for the educators who know their work is legit, their results are real, and their education should be selling out, that want to build a sought-after brand. We will be opening again later on in 2026, but the price point will not be the same. So if you are wanting to get into the Sought-After Educator Accelerator at the current investment, head to jodybrown.ca/SAE, and I will link that in the show notes. If you are curious if this is the right fit for you at your current phase, DM me over on Instagram at @itsjodybrown and we'll talk about it. All right, let's get into the episode. Hey there, welcome back to the Visionary Rising podcast. I'm your host, Jody Brown, and I'm really excited for this week's episode because we're going to be doing something a little bit different. I actually had a one-on-one call with Meta last week, which is the parent company of Instagram, Facebook, and Threads. And I was able to ask some really detailed questions and actually have them audit different parts of my account based on Instagram's best practices. I, of course, kept you in mind when I was asking questions as well, and I came prepared. I had actually gotten an email from Instagram that they were going to be doing these one-on-one calls with certain creators. And I got a text the morning that they were going to call me, and I immediately messaged my team on Voxer to ask if anyone had any questions, and they had some great ones. And then I wrote a list of all of the things that my clients have asked me, all of the things that I've been getting questions about in the DMs. And so I am really pumped to fill you in on that. Welcome to the Visionary Rising, the podcast for freedom-seeking, heart-led, creative entrepreneurs, course creators, and online business owners. I'm Jody Brown, marketing-obsessed hairstylist turned content creation agency owner and visibility mentor, and I'm here to help you build your magnetic brand, grow your audience, and become the authority in your space. You'll get the most up-to-date conversations and strategies on visibility, marketing, social media, mindset, and entrepreneurship so that you can grow your business in a way that feels as good as it looks. Here, we keep it real and go beyond the basics. I'm obsessed with helping creatives get seen and heard and paid well for their work. Beyond a podcast, this is a movement. Welcome to the Visionary Rising.
I got some really valuable insight about Instagram best practices, and this was straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak, from Instagram. So I'm going to break down some of the things that they said and some of my key takeaways from reading between the lines of what they had told me. So we're going to deep dive into Instagram optimization. We're going to talk about the strategies and best practices for increasing your reach, engagement, and growth in 2024. And it's interesting because certain things have actually shifted a little bit. So the things we're going to cover include hashtag strategy. And yes, we're still using hashtags in 2024. And what she told me was actually so interesting when it comes to SEO. So I'm going to break that down as well. We're also going to talk about things like post frequency. This one really surprised me. And then I asked a lot of questions about how to expand your audience, how to reach new people, all of these things. And I also was able to ask some questions about some weird algorithm things that I had noticed. And I got such an incredible reminder. And so it was kind of an aha moment for me. It wasn't actually what she said, but I was like, oh yeah. And so anyways, I'll share that with you later. But like I said, we're going to talk about what we should be doing with hashtags for max visibility, changing the algorithm, all of the things. So this is an episode that you may want to take some notes on because this was a really, really detailed conversation. And I basically got to like rapid fire question this person from Instagram and Meta. So it was really, really cool. So if you are looking to, you know, optimize your Instagram presence reach a wider audience and, you know, really just implement the most useful and up-to-date strategies with Instagram. Let's talk about it. I'm really excited. And also there was something that happened on this call where I was like, oh, this is why they're doing those calls. And I will share that at the end. So one of the focal points of our discussion, because this is something that I was really interested in because I've gotten a lot of questions about it recently, is what can we be doing in terms of content to increase reach? And the first question I asked about this is, should we be editing reels within the Instagram app to optimize interaction? Is it true that things that are edited outside of the Instagram app don't get as good engagement? All of those types of things. Like, what about the third-party editing tools? Are there any bad sides to doing that? Now, I'm going to tell you what they told me, and then I'm also going to tell you my opinion here. So they had said that it shouldn't affect reach unless it has a third-party watermark. So if you are reposting content for TikTok, just use something that takes off the watermark because Instagram will intentionally push it down. And same thing goes for something like CapCut. And actually, CapCut is what she specifically mentioned. So if you are using, for example, CapCut, when it has the watermark at the end, or if you're using free version of a lot of these editing apps, they will watermark it. So you want to be really mindful not to do that. Now, here's a quick tip for you. If you are using CapCut and it does put a watermark right at the end, you can always just cut that piece off in Instagram. Now, I want to also weigh in a little bit on my opinion here because I know that I've seen people do things in like Canva that just don't look really native to the app at all. They don't really look like the content belongs on the app. And I do find that that type of content just does not do as well. So even if you're not creating it in Instagram, the more relevant to the platform, the more native to the platform something looks, it is likely that it is the better it's going to do. And that is anecdotal just from my years of experience running my account and then tons of other accounts through my agency. So that is something to definitely think about when it comes to reels and editing outside of the app. Now, another thing that I had asked was, what about harnessing trending audio for engagement? So I want to break down exactly what they said. And I think that this is going to bring something up that we don't necessarily think about when it comes to trending audio. So for trending audio, what she had actually mentioned was, the specific question I asked was, if you are doing like a face to camera reel, if you're doing something where you're talking or whatever, like, should you be putting like a trending audio in the background, for example? And she said, like, when it makes sense, yes. And the reason for that is that basically you have a chance to be found on that trending audio page. So here is my take on that. I think if you're doing something with a trending audio that's like unique, yes, that is likely going to, it makes sense because then if someone is scrolling through that trending audio page, that you will have the capability to catch someone's eye because they might want inspiration from your reel, right? So that's kind of how I see it. When it comes to the spoken reels, will I start to use trending audio underneath? Truthfully, this is something I've experimented with. And also, I want to just say here that everyone's account is a little bit unique, right? So I've managed a lot of different accounts. I've looked at a lot of analytics from a lot of different accounts. And one thing that I have noticed is that I don't find that it consistently works in terms of getting more views on spoken reels. This is something that I would recommend that you experiment with yourself. So when I say a spoken reel, basically what this means is if you are, you know, face to camera, or maybe even if you're doing a voiceover, having that trending audio in the background and then just like turning it down so it's like background noise. So this isn't necessarily a bad idea, and it's absolutely something you could experiment with. So just give it a shot, because Like I said, I've tested this on a couple different accounts, and I do have some accounts that I have worked on that actually they do better when there's no audio in the background. And I wonder, like, and it's just their voice. So try it out. Like, I would maybe do like a couple similar types of spoken reels, test a couple with training audio, test a couple without. But I don't think this is something that you absolutely have to do. Now, what she had said again is that by leveraging that training audio without altering its original form, because you don't, if you alter it, it will come up as like an original audio, but that can help creators. And again, this is for creators, right? So I'm translating this for business owners because Instagram just says anyone who is creating content is a creator. So technically you are a creator if you're using Instagram, but basically they're saying that they can, you can attract a broader audience and capitalize on that, on the algorithm to boost your content visibility by using trending audios. So I definitely use trending audio on any type of like B-roll reel or anything like that. And again, maybe I will experiment with this again. I'm always an advocate of an experimental mindset. But like I said, I have tested this across various accounts over the past couple of years, and I haven't seen a consistently reliable change. So that's something to think about. And I'm going to talk more about this consistent, reliable thing later, because like I said, I got kind of like an aha moment. So again, you can help increase your discoverability by using that trending audio, which we know, but, you know, using it in that specific context. Okay. Now, this is the part where I think everyone's like waiting for, because hashtags, right? Hashtags are something that it is wild how much controversy, for lack of a better word, there has been surrounding hashtags recently. I've seen so many people posting, like so many people creating content saying, oh, like hashtags are dead. I've seen also that some people are having their amount of hashtags limited to 5 on Reels. However, I'm going to tell you exactly what they said. And they actually gave me a really interesting point that I will be implementing from now on. So they did say that hashtags are vital in terms of getting more eyes on your content. Instagram very heavily relies on hashtags still. And actually, even when I asked about SEO, she very much was like, okay, you know what? This is like hashtags are part of that. Hashtags are a strong part of that. And she also kind of emphasized how important it is to have a strategic hashtag strategy. So this is something I'm going to revisit. And when I do like really nail this hashtag strategy, because I did learn something a little bit new, the strategy that I have always used has still worked. And for anyone who's listening who has a local business, still local, lead with local. It is absolutely effective, and you do not want to necessarily change that. But what they had said essentially is that using 5 to 8 hashtags is the sweet spot. This is very different. This did not used to be the case. It used to be the case that essentially the more hashtags you used, the better, right? So now she didn't say it's not like limited per se, but she said 5 to 8 hashtags is the sweet spot from their findings. And what she also said was that you should prioritize using niche hashtags that align closely with the content. So not with your account, with the content. So whatever you are posting, that is what you want to be hashtagging. So for example, I'm going to give you another tip too that I got from her actually auditing my account, because I was asking like, okay, with the hashtag strategy I'm using, like what should I be doing differently? And one thing she pointed out was I had on a couple posts the hashtag hair educator and hair educators, like the plural. And she said, it's pointless and it's kind of a waste of real estate for you. So what you should do is you should try to figure something else out. So she's like, beauty industry educator and hair educator, like that is perfect. Those are two different kind of hashtags. But she's like, don't worry about like using the plural version, because you want to get as specific as possible. And she also said too, so I asked specifically, for example, and this was not even in the conversation about hashtags. This was actually later in our chat. But I had asked, okay, so for example, is it going to be harmful for your account if you are posting different types of content? So for example, say you're a financial advisor and you're posting like finance content, but then you're also posting lifestyle content. And her answer was, this is kind of like a back and forth. And she's like, it can confuse the algorithm, but it shouldn't. Like if you're using the right, really hyper specific hashtags on each post. So what that means is that essentially Instagram wants us using hashtags. They are still heavily relying on it to sort content. However, here's something to think about whenever you're posting, right? So say you do post something and it's lifestyle, and then the like 99% of your content is finance. I'm just going to use that as an example. Then if someone follows you from that lifestyle content, then they're not likely to enjoy your other content, right? So if you are going to experiment, you're going to have different content types on there. I would just make sure that you're doing enough of it that if people come to your page and follow you for that specific type of content, they're actually going to see that specific type of content. So that was something that I just wanted to add. They also mentioned how important it is to steer clear of overly competitive hashtags and to focus like really, really heavily on relevance. So that is the best way in terms of hashtags to optimize. Now, like I said, I am definitely going to be looking deeper, and this is after this conversation. And to be totally transparent, when I asked her like, how is my hashtag strategy? She said, it's great. So I don't necessarily think it's something that I have to, like I have been definitely doing more niche hashtags for a long time because I had noticed that just with experience that it did better. However, what I think is different now, which did not used to be the case, is now she said it is very important to use the content that is specific to each post versus the content, like versus having like one set that you just copy and paste. So that is something, again, when I asked her to audit mine, she said it's great, just maybe not the repetitive ones. But anyways, I will be going and doing more research into this and, you know, testing, and I will absolutely keep you updated. So make sure you're subscribed because we will be doing an update after I have a chance to, again, there isn't a whole lot that we're going to be implementing in terms of changes because a lot of it was more confirmation of kind of what we'd already been doing a little bit, but I definitely will update if there's anything that comes out of this conversation that I do end up changing. Social media changes all the time. So it is definitely something where if there is something that I notice that is different, like it's the one area where we always have to end up contradicting ourselves because things shift quickly, right? So I will make sure that I am updating you whenever there is something to be updated on. So navigating audience reach challenges is something that I have a ton of conversations about. So there is a specific question I'd ask because it is so relevant to me and a couple of my clients right now. And that is the strategies to maintain and grow your audience reach while you're pivoting your content. So this was a very interesting answer that I got because I didn't think this was going to be the answer. So this is one that surprised me. So she said, actually, this is funny. This is a really common concern amongst creators like that she had spoken to. And she had a suggestion for me that I'm going to share with you now. So she said, by balancing your content for both your existing and new audience. So like, if you have like an exclusive audience of like one, you know, segment and you want to kind of grow a different audience as well, then if you can balance content for both of those existing and new audiences, then you should be able to increase your reach. And she said, mitigate any issues with the algorithm. And I'm going to get to the algorithm later, like I said, because like this, it's kind of funny what I think about it, that like this was such an aha moment for me, but I'm excited to share. But anyways, so she had said that, yeah, that is basically the approach that she would recommend. And that is something that I will absolutely be trying. So she said consistent posting frequency while you are pivoting anything, diversifying your hashtag usage. So when you have different, you know, pieces of content, you're going to want to use different hashtags. And then also engaging with your followers. So engaging with your followers is something that I think a lot of us want to bypass, like respond to your comments. This is something that I always end up having this conversation with like clients. And, you know, it's like, if you can respond to your comments, that is going to be so huge for you. Because honestly, at the end of every single person on Instagram is a human being, right? Every person who takes their time out of their day to comment on your content, like we should be giving them the time of day to respond back, because that is something that, you know, the social media is meant to be social. So if we can be social on the platform, it's going to be beneficial, not just from an algorithmic standpoint, but also from a standpoint of creating and fostering community, right? And that's so, so important. So those were all the things that she had mentioned in terms of the audience reach, like issues when you are pivoting, or even if you've just had kind of a slow dip, which I'm going to get to later. Now, when it comes to SEO, she had essentially told me SEO on Instagram is still important. It's still something they're working towards. And it's really, really helpful in terms of account categorization. But she had shared that at this point, hashtags are still more beneficial than keywords. So keywords are still important. And she confirmed, like, yes, keywords are absolutely important. Instagram reads like 100% of the content to categorize it. However, that as it stands right now, it's going to pick up those keywords. Because if you think about it, think of how many words are on Instagram. Like, that is a lot of work for an algorithm, a computer program to do, right? So if you're wanting to maximize your reach and visibility, make sure you take the notes on the section about hashtags and really apply that stuff, because that was something she very much impressed the importance of when it comes to individual posts. Now, when it comes to profiles, something that has been true for a really long time is you want to make sure that your name section on Instagram is SEO optimized. You want to still make sure you're using keywords, because there are also like bigger accounts. So I'm talking like hundreds of thousands of followers. A lot of them don't use hashtags anymore because their content gets pushed out to so many people that the keywords are enough. But if you're someone who's trying to really increase your reach and get discovered more, that is where hashtags really shine. So definitely keep that in mind. Now I want to tell you about kind of what I realized these calls were partially about. Now, don't get me wrong, it was so useful. It was amazing to be able to really rapid fire question this person from Meta. And like, she had a lot of knowledge. It was really, really useful. However, what I realized, and I was kind of thinking about it, and I was like, oh, it's like they're doing a lot of these calls, I'd assume. I only know one other person who's actually gotten a call with Meta. And she is in a very similar line of work to me. So it's possible that they're reaching out to creators who maybe speak on social media and marketing, or I don't know what the criteria is, essentially. However, what I realized at one point during this conversation is they really, really want us to use Threads. I think that it's very evident, even if you're following Adam Mosseri on Instagram, that they are really prioritizing the growth of Threads right now. So anyways, basically, they had said that to expand beyond Instagram, to like really build more of a community, that they were noticing a lot of creators are making connections on Threads that are then following them to Instagram. So she emphasized how important it was to use Threads for community building, and she highly recommended getting onto Threads. So she actually, and I I brought up a concern that I had with Threads, because when I got onto the platform, I was like, oh, this is cool. And then what I noticed is it was just like so negative all of a sudden, like the algorithm or whatever, like where it put me, it was just like people complaining, people just like constantly, you know, like going off about different topics. And if you know me, you know that is not my vibe. I am 100% in the camp of focus on the things you can control. Complaining about other creators, complaining about other coaches, you know, pointing out what other people are doing wrong is going to do absolutely nothing to grow your business, in my opinion. And I really don't think that it attracts the right kind of people for me. That is not who I want to work with. People who just want to come and complain about other people. That's just not my vibe. So anyways, that is actually why I ended up quitting Threads. And I was like, you know what? It's not worth it. I was never a Twitter user for that exact reason. If it costs my peace, or, you know, if it makes my day worse, it's not worth it to me. I'd rather just look elsewhere. So anyways, I did mention that, and she had said, okay, here's what we recommend doing. So, you know, a while ago, if you're someone who's on Threads, you may have noticed a while ago, it was like that people were posting things like, I'm a, you know, creative female entrepreneur. I'm looking to connect with. And then they would list like the type of accounts that they were looking to connect with. And I was like, oh, this is a cute trend. But that's actually what this person from Instagram told me to do. They were like, okay, go onto Threads and post like, this is the kind of people I'm looking to connect with. And that can really help train the algorithm to actually connect you with more people that you want to connect with. So you know what? I'm going to give it a shot, because I like the concept of Threads. I was not happy with the content I was seeing on Threads. And so for me, that's kind of how I feel about it. And again, I may give this a shot. I may not. Like, if it feeds me anything like what it was doing before, then you know what? I'll find other ways to run Instagram. It's okay. You don't have to do all of it, right? You don't have to do all of these things. But that is what they had recommended. So establishing your preference with a post like that, engaging with like-minded creators. And she had said like, oh, like you can tailor your Threads experience essentially to align with your content goals. She did also mention maintaining consistency in Threads posting and also leveraging real-time events. So, and this was something specifically that they had said can enhance cross-platform visibility. So, hey, visibility ecosystem, I'm here for it. I love it. I will take one for the team and experiment with this and report my findings back. So make sure you follow me on Instagram, because that's likely where I will report it back, or send me a DM if you want me to make another episode after I've let it settle, tested all of these recommendations, and have more to share. I likely will be doing some sort of social media update at least, you know, quarterly, every 4 or 5 months, because things change that quickly. But let me know if you're interested in that type of content by sending me a DM over at It's Jodi Brown or at The Visionary Rising on Instagram. So I wanted to also touch on there's two more things I want to talk about. One is posting frequency. So something that they had mentioned is they find the sweet spot for posting to be between 3 to 5 times a week. Now, I will specify here that she had said that this was, you know, really talk about Reels strategy. So I am likely going to test, like what I'm thinking here is I think I'm going to test maybe 3 Reels a week and, you know, 2 or 3 static or carousel posts a week, and kind of go at that cadence and see how that works. So there are also people who are very successful on Instagram who preach posting 3 times a day. There are also people, like I said, that post. I've actually watched an interview with someone saying that they noticed their engagement went up when they were posting less. So this is something where you can kind of experiment and find your sweet spot here. But the official recommendation from Meta is 3 to 5 times a week on the feed. And then you could, you know, post stories whenever you want to, essentially. So that was their official recommendation. Now I want to share my big aha moment that I had. And then there's actually a couple more takeaways that I had that I'm going to share as well. But basically, so I had shared, I was like, so in terms of like the algorithm shift, what is the deal with the fact that like, because I get like for the amount of people that see my posts, they always have good engagement. And so I was kind of like going through it with her and she was auditing essentially my account as well. And she's like, yeah, that has really great engagement. And I was like, okay, so like it was only pushed out to say 18 non-followers. And so one thing she said that really changed my mind was she's like, oh, that sounds like a bug. That doesn't sound right at all. Cause that's exactly how it should work. You should be, you know, pushing it out to your followers. And then if it gets good engagement, then pushing it out more. And she's like, so I will write this down. I'll go to my boss, but this is a common concern with creators. And I think this is it. It's what we're trying to discover is that it's a bug. And you know what that really did for me? It kind of blew my mind because I was like, duh, it's a software. Software has bugs. Software has issues. Like, we're always talking about the Instagram algorithm as though it is some all-knowing thing that never makes mistakes and never does anything wrong. And honestly, it just went to show, like, so often we spend so much time stressing about this algorithm. And at the end of the day, it's just a piece of software. You know what I mean? It's going to glitch out just like anything else. So I really think that, you know, like I said, that was just a really interesting thing that I had. It just kind of changed my perspective because I was like, you know, it's just wild that I was like, oh, like what is going on? What am I doing wrong? I mean, engagement goes up and down. It always has. It always will. There's always going to be peaks and valleys and all of the things. So I want to make that clear. I wasn't freaking out and being like, oh my God, like, this means something or my business is, you know, in trouble or anything, because I am very intentional about having a visibility ecosystem. So it doesn't stress me out in that way. It's more just from a curiosity perspective, because I'm like, I am optimizing. What is going on here? And so that was really, really interesting to me. And she's like, yeah, we have bugs with engagement all the time. So if you're someone who's ever gone through a phase where you're like, oh my God, nobody's seeing my stuff. And honestly, it's likely just, you know, a glitch in the software. It will get fixed. There was 10 like micro glitches last week where there was a bunch of shutdowns. So at the end of the day, it's about the people that do see it. And so I think that when it comes to Instagram, it's like, this is what they always say when it comes to manifestation, even. It's like you focus on what you can control. And then you just let go and just surrender, because there's nothing you can do like to force it to show people, right? So all you need to focus on is, you know, you could optimize using these tips we talked about today. You can absolutely, you want to focus on the messaging, because honestly, like I've had posts that barely reached anyone that, you know, didn't get great engagement that resonated so strongly that I've had clients reach out and hire my agency or book me as their coach or ask me to speak at an event, or you know what I mean? Like there's so many different things, because content is about more than just appeasing an algorithm. So I want you to think, even after all of this conversation today, I always want to bring it back to that we want to focus on the message over the medium. Content isn't just on one platform. The whole world does not revolve around Instagram, right? So we want to just be really, really mindful, because if you focus on the messaging, if you focus, like I said, optimizing is great. We want to always get the most bang for our buck content-wise, but don't let it control you. That's something that I really, really want to bring forth. Just one more thing I wanted to share is I did ask specifically about carousel posts. And I was like, look at my page. Is there anything I could be doing better? And she said, well, the only thing I could think of is like making carousels a little bit more eye-catching. But she's like, but they get really great engagement the way they are. The font is clear, like everything, like high contrast is important. You have high contrast, all of the things. So basically she said, if you wanted to, you could focus on making like the carousel posts a little bit more eye-catching. But with that being said, like those get great reach and engagement anyway. So, I mean, is it something I'm going to focus on? Probably not right now. I hope that this was super helpful to you. I hope that you took lots of notes and it was, you know, useful for me to break this down. Again, let me know if you like this type of content, if you want more of these nitty-gritty tips when it comes to social media platforms, and what you want me to dive into on the Visionary Rising podcast for the rest of 2024. I always want to hear your opinions. What are you struggling with when it comes to marketing? What are your goals when it comes to growing your business? Share it all. Message me over at It's Joni Brown on Instagram. Thank you so much for hanging out with me here today. And I will see you this time next week on the Visionary Rising podcast.